Those of you my age and older remember the movie from back in the 1980s called Oh God. It starred John Denver and George Burns. In one of the Oh God movies, I remember once the character that John Denver played was looking for God, and he's going into different places, and he goes into this Jewish synagogue, and there's an old man who's cleaning up inside the synagogue, and John Denver says, "I'm looking for God." And the old man pointed to the sanctuary and said, "Well, there he is. Go talk to him if it's that important." And he was right. The presence of God was there. In the scrolls, the written Hebrew first five books of the Old Testament, we see the ancient form. Even more so, if he would have gone into a Catholic church and the sacristan would have been there, the same thing would have happened. And this time we'd have the real presence of Christ, real and substantial, in the Blessed Sacrament. Which kind of makes me wonder, what would we do if somebody came to one of us and said that they were looking for God? What would our answer be? We can say that God is in heaven, and of course he is. God is all around us, and certainly he is. But what about the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity, the real and substantial, the sacramental presence of Christ? Would we tell somebody to go into the church and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Sometimes we may not think about that. And we've kind of focused so much on the spiritual presence of God that we forget about the physical presence of Jesus, who is certainly here among us, present in the sacrament of the altar. You know, how many times when we have problems, we have difficulties, we have worries, we have all kinds of things going through our minds and so many things going on in our lives, do we ever think about just coming inside the church just to sit for a while and pray? And we think about Martha and Mary, right? Martha and Mary had invited Jesus over for supper one night. They were the sisters of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And Martha's going around the house going nuts, making sure everything's clean, everything's in place, on and on and on and on, like so many of us do. What does Mary do? She sits there at the feet of Jesus, just kind of soaking in his presence. And as the Lord tells Martha, he says, you know, you're busy with all kinds of different things, all good things, but still busy. But Mary has chosen the better part. Why? She is there in the presence of the Master. There in the presence of the Master. My first year in seminary was kind of like that. I was in a new place coming from Church Point. That was at Holy Trinity Seminary in Irving, Texas, between Dallas and Fort Worth. Big old city, new culture, new experience, the whole nine yards. And it was overwhelming. And my spiritual director told me that. He says, you know, you pass in front of a chapel every day, sometimes several times a day. Don't pass by without stopping for a minute. You don't have to say anything. Just sit in the presence of the Lord. You tell him what you told me, or don't say anything at all. Just listen. Just listen. In the age in which we live, people talk a lot, but few people listen. We have all kinds of noise, but very little truth. And that has led to a famine in our land, an absence of God. But it's not that God isn't here, but he's simply neglected. He's simply ignored. And just like in the second book of Kings, there was a famine in the land, and people tried very much to eat whatever they could find, and they did. So much so that they were eating things that were about to poison them. And the prophet Elisha had to come and perform a miracle by throwing some flour into the food they had prepared to remove the poison. And the same thing happens today. As I said, we can always come to the presence of Christ. We can listen to Christ, but we don't. We listen to all these so-called experts or celebrities on television, this person, that person, but we don't listen to God. We're starving and we're hungry for God, but instead of going after God, we go after all kinds of other things. We're looking for peace and we go to activity. We do so many other things. We try to acquire as much as we can, but when somebody asks for something, God forbid that we give them, even if it's of our time or whatever it might be. So there's a famine in the land, and Elisha has to put an end to this famine. But then this man comes. This man comes from a town called Baal Shalisha, and he brings to Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Now what's this telling us? This man, who has no name, simply obeys God. He gives of the first fruits of his crop. Now what's left over but from the first harvest? Fresh grain. Baal Shalisha means in Hebrew husband or master of three things. Now, I've mentioned a couple weeks ago about grain, wine, and oil. Grain, wine, and oil, mentioned in the Old Testament several times as a foreshadowing of the sacraments. of the Eucharist, and of course of the Holy Spirit, forging the Church. Those three things. We also have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the one God who has espoused us to himself. He is our husband, our master, our spouse, as we the Church are his bride, and it's by the Eucharist that we're drawn into the life of Christ. Christ gives himself completely to us, but do we give ourselves, heart, mind, soul, and body, everything, completely to Christ? Not always. We like to hold things back. Elisha said to this man, "Give to the people to eat." And his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people? And Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over. When people ask for assistance, do we give it to them? When people need to see the presence of Christ in us, can they see him by our love? What kind of people are we? When it comes time to explain the faith or to defend our faith or to defend or help someone else, are we willing to give or do we like to hold back? That's the question. If the hand of the Lord feeds us and answers all of our needs, God is asking us to feed others, to help answer their needs, to be there for them. We can look at the wonders of the Eucharist, and we should. And we see this very plainly in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, when Jesus gives us the great teaching of the Eucharist. And all the signs of the beginning of that miracle are here. Jesus, first of all, teaches and preaches to the people. He gives them the word. And now he's about to celebrate a Mass, if you would, for them, or the foreshadowing of the Mass. The Jewish feast of Passover is near. The same Jewish feast that Jesus is celebrating the night of the Last Supper. It has to do with unleavened bread, the sacrifice of a lamb, salvation by the blood of the lamb, and of course eating the lamb as the meal that carries us from slavery to freedom. And just like Elisha's servant, Philip says to Jesus, "Where can we buy enough food for all these people to eat? There's simply not enough for each of these people to have a little." And all Jesus says is, "Do whatever I tell you." And a boy comes with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. How does Jesus give us the Eucharist? By his sacrifice on the cross. How many wounds does he have? 5. His hands, his feet, his side. And of course, he's pierced in the side, and out comes blood and water. The sign of baptism and the Eucharist. 5 plus 2 equaling 7. The number of perfection. The 7 sacraments given to us by Christ, which find their origin in one of those sacraments, the Eucharist. 6 come from Christ, 1 is. And how St. John uses the very same words that Jesus uses at the Last Supper when he takes the bread, he blesses it and breaks it and then gives to those who were there. And none was wasted. Everyone had their fill. 12 wicker baskets with fragments were left over for the 12 apostles to continue what Jesus had done, as he would tell them at the Last Supper, "Do this in memory of me." The beautiful words of Psalm 145, "The eyes of all look hopefully to you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing." We are called, my brothers and sisters, to be people of the Eucharist. To, yes, sit in the presence of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to receive the Eucharist with humility, and of course with purity, to thank God for that great gift that we have. But it's not enough for us just to have the bread and wine change on the altar into Christ. In our receiving the Eucharist, we ourselves need to become changed and to become more and more like the Lord. And as St. Paul says, "I urge you to live in a manner that is worthy of the call that you have received, with all humility and gentleness and with patience, to bear with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." We were called into this great hope, to one who is our only Lord, into one faith, into one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. May our lives reflect the life of the Lord. May our reception of the Eucharist always indicate that we are living tabernacles, that when people come looking for God, people can look to us and we can point them in the right direction. Yes, there is a spiritual famine in the land in which we live, but if we obey Christ, if we pray, if we listen, if we receive the Eucharist with heartfelt thanksgiving and become transformed, that famine can be turned into plenty. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord truly feeds us. He answers all our needs. When he calls, may we answer as well.